All right, let's try that again. He's risen. All right. I think that's the two greatest proclamations we can make today is he is risen indeed, and Jesus is Lord. And so today, all over the world, people are coming together, and they are celebrating the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. With that, we're starting a new sermon series called Made New. This is what Jesus wants to do with all of us. He wants to make us new. And the effects of the resurrection, they have echoed throughout history. Jesus' defeat of sin and death has changed everything. And I want to suggest that the power that rose Jesus from the dead is available to all of us today. That same power is available for us. Jesus wants to make changes in our life. He wants to renew us. He wants to breathe new and fresh life into us. And there's a connecting part of that. The key to this is faith. It is believing in Jesus, what he has done. This faith unlocks this hope as we trust in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a non-resurrection day kind of question. How many of you ever watched the movie The Incredibles? Anybody watch The Incredibles? How many of you realize that movie is 19 years old? Yeah, that's kind of rough. Sorry for ruining your morning. So, but this movie, it tells this story of superheroes that they've been forced to hide their superpowers, and they're kind of living in this witness protection type program. And they have powers to change the world, but they're not allowed to do so. Instead, the main character, Bob, he has this job where he used to be able to save people's lives, which is a pretty cool job. He's a superhero, but now he's got this really boring ho-hum job. He works for this insurance agency, and the insurance agency, this particular one, I'm not picking on anybody, this particular insurance agency is corrupt, all right? And you know, maybe for some people you go, well, you know, he's getting a paycheck, he's feeding his family. But that bothers Bob, because Bob understands something. He's not living as he was created to be. There's something more that he was designed for, and he's not living it out. And there's this great scene in the movie where the little neighbor comes over on his tricycle, and he comes over and he kind of watches the family every day because he's suspicious of something. He's saying, there's something else going on here. There's something going on, and Bob comes home from this extremely frustrating day at his work, and the boy is on the tricycle, you know, he's blowing bubbles, and Bob looks over at him. And he says, well, what are you waiting for? And as he looks at this kid, and the kid says, I don't know, something amazing, maybe. And you know, Bob looks at him, he's like, me too, kid. And I look at that, and I think, that's really great storytelling. Because great stories have like a universal application. Because I know the movie's made for kids, but Pixar has a secret. They're trying to talk to you as adults. Because every adult is sitting there going, "Me too, kid. Me too, kid. I'm wanting something amazing to happen in my life." And let me tell you something. What if something amazing has already happened? Okay. What if there's potential that something amazing can happen today? God can do something amazing in your life. Well, let's look at Matthew's gospel, and he's going to tell a story that sometimes maybe the story is all too familiar, and we forget to see the extraordinary. We're talking about a dead person coming back to life, okay? That's extraordinary. You know, when I think of things that happen, you know, this team won. That's extraordinary. No, this guy was dead and is alive. That's extraordinary. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1, and it'll be up on the screen. There's Bibles underneath the seats in front of you or behind you if you're in the front. And if you need a Bible, please take that the Bible there with you. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he had said, come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And as I mentioned before, I think many of you know this story fairly well. And if we put it into context, we would say the previous week started really well, right? That's pretty good. You're coming into Jerusalem. People are calling him the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. I mean, if you're one of the disciples, you're like, yeah, this is it. Yeah, I'm with him. This is like this moment in history. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're saying, man, our hopes and dreams are coming true. The kingdom of God is coming. It's going to be a reality through this person named Jesus. Fast forward to Friday, and all your dreams seem pretty much crushed. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that, right? You're looking out. The one you put your hope and trust in is on a cross. But that's pretty bad. And I think the words Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think they seem to echo throughout everyone's heart. Like, God, we trusted in you. We thought this was it. We signed up. You know, we left everything behind, and this is it. This is how this ends. And so we need to understand this is how the ladies came to the tomb that morning. And I would imagine their dreams and their hopes are pretty much gone. Imagine as they come, the really only hope is like, let's just show some human compassion to Jesus. Let's make sure that his body is treated with dignity. And it feels so final if you think about Friday. But like all good stories that are worth retelling, something happens. Any good story you ever listen to, you're like, oh no, this isn't good. And then you get somewhere and something surprises you. Something changes. This isn't the end, it's just the beginning. 3 days go by, some disciples, they just kind of go back to their old way of life. Like, that old Messiah thing didn't work out. That's pretty much buried behind this tomb. But then Sunday came. Sunday came, and early in the morning, these women, they come, they're still carrying their griefs, they're still carrying their worries, and their doubts, and their fears, and I imagine some of you came here this morning, carrying your griefs, your worries, your doubts, and your fears, unless I'm like the only one that does those kinds of things, but we carry those, and they have their shattered dreams, and God is about to provide a disruptive moment that changes everything for them. A lot of times we don't like disruptive moments, but those disruptive moments in our lives change things. The Bible describes it, it says, suddenly a violent earthquake shook the ground. We sing songs about that, right? We're like, God, hey, shake up the ground. And then sometimes he shakes up the ground. We're like, God, what are you doing? Keep everything nice and calm and normal and the same for me. I want to change, but I don't want to go through anything. And so he shakes up the ground here, And an angel of the Lord appears, which always freaks people out. And he rolls away the stone. And then it just seems like he just kind of sits up there, just sits up on the stone after he rolls away. And everyone's terrified. And I find it sort of comical because it describes the soldiers. This is like the most feared army on the planet Earth. And they're just like, boom, they hit the ground. They're like they're dead men. And the angel just ignores them. Doesn't say anything to these guys. Like, look, those guys hit the ground. But then he turns to these women. These women that came basically just to show human dignity and compassion to somebody they love. And he quickly and gently says to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. For he has risen, as he said. It's funny how many times, you know, we're told that. He's like, yeah, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't know that. For he has risen, as he said, and he says, come see the place where he lay. Now, I think there's something universal here that happened to the soldiers, happened to these women, and I'm going to guess both you and I experienced this. It's fear. Fear overtook every person there. Many people are filled with fear and anxiety. Sometimes we feel that, you know, we get that fear like, man, nothing's ever going to change. My circumstances are never going to change. Other people fear like everything keeps changing. And it's changing around me. It's changing in me. I don't like that. Then we have these fears where, I don't know about you, but I've lived through a lot of end of the world events. Okay? I've had a lot of stuff where people said, hey, you need to be afraid of this because this is what's happening here. And you know, and you wake up and you're like, man, I survived another one. That's great. And then we have other fears. Maybe my marriage can't be rescued. Maybe that diagnosis from the doctor, that's a foregone conclusion. Maybe they are going to destroy whatever it is. And we all have our theys out there. And they're going to do something. And so we're afraid of them. And far too many of us, this fear dominates us. And we do something very funny with fear. We do the same thing we do with fear as we do with sin. We tend to judge people who fear differently than us. We tend to judge people that sin differently than us. Like, well, you shouldn't be afraid of that. You should be afraid of this. Well, it's still fear. It's still the same thing. We're just looking at it at different angles here. And I think maybe the first message we need to hear this morning is the first message they heard this morning. And by the way, Jesus repeats it 5 verses later. The first words from Jesus, do not be afraid. Easter confronts our fears and offers us joy. It confronts our fears. I mean, think about that. This empty tomb, it reveals the power of God. And it's not just the power of God in reality for Jesus, but a reality for us today. We need to see things through different lenses, right? Look at your fear. Look at your problems and your trials through the lens of the resurrection. I think things begin to come in focus when we look at that, and when we look at the resurrection, because the resurrection tells us a couple things. It tells us, first of all, that death does not have the final say. All right? Jesus has the final say. Death does not have the final say. Evil is not in charge. Jesus is. Author and speaker Beth Moore says this, the power of the resurrection means that nothing but the tomb is meant to be empty. We're to be filled with the Lord's joy. And these women, they leave filled with joy because of the resurrection. And you and I too, we can be filled with joy in the midst of our circumstances because of the resurrection. That's the power that's able to make things new. The empty tomb means your past can be made new. Your Your hope for the future can be made new. And sometimes we look and we go, well, that's not going to happen. Well, these ladies are going to find out that their hope for the future is even better than they thought. Okay? It's just different. Hope is alive for us. Now, there's something, I thought about skipping over this, but I think I need to go back here. Have you ever thought about this? So there's this angel, and the angel rolls away the stone. Why did the angel roll away the stone? And before you answer, don't want to chase that rabbit trail. Let me suggest something. It's not because Jesus needs help. Okay? Jesus defeated death. Okay? So I'm going to suggest that the power that defeated death isn't in the tomb going, oh, I forgot about a little rock here. You know, I overcame death, but I can't deal with this rock. All right. So this same Jesus later this day is going to walk into a room with closed doors that are locked. Okay. So I don't think it's a matter of, hey, Jesus needs help. Let's roll away the stone so he can come out. If you read the text, he's not even there when they move the stone. The stone is removed for our sake. Okay. It's removed for us. It's for us to go in and see. Easter, the resurrection, is an invitation to come and see. Let's read it again. The angel says this, he's not here, for he has risen as he said, and an angel says, come see where he lay. Do you see that invitation? It says, I mean, don't just take my word for it. Come check it out. And Jesus himself, listen, after Jesus tells them to not be afraid, Jesus himself, he says, go to Galilee. Go tell my disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will what? They will see me. One of the very first invitations that Jesus ever gives to his disciples was, come and see. All right? He doesn't say, hey, have it all figured out, just trust. He says, come and see. Come and observe for yourself. Remember Nathanael? He asked that question, you know, like, hey, that's the Messiah. Well, where's he from? Nazareth. Really? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What's the answer? Come and see. When Thomas doubts the resurrection. So if you ever, you know, you're like, really? Did he really rise from the dead? Okay, you're not alone. The very disciples, they didn't even believe the women at first. They had to go and see. Thomas doubts. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, see my hands? He's right there. And he says to Thomas, he says, go ahead, put your hand and place it in my side. You know, at that point, I'm like, I'm cool, I believe. I got it, Jesus. And Jesus says, do not disbelieve, but believe. And let me stress this. Christianity is not a blind belief. There's an invitation with eyes wide open. Come look at the empty tomb. Come look at the people that Jesus showed himself alive to after the crucifixion. And at Hope Community Church, we believe this is a place where you can bring your worries, you can bring your doubts, you can bring your fears and your questions and explore faith. Come and see. Come and examine the scriptures. Examine the lives that have been changed by this event. Come see as millions have across the centuries, across continents, across cultures, that this Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. Jesus is Lord and he is risen. Sin and death have been defeated. None of their hopes or dreams are gone. They just look different. My invitation is, don't dismiss Jesus before you come and see. Come and examine. He invites you to do that. Come and see. And for those of you that have already come and seen that Jesus is Lord, there's a second often overlooked command, And that Easter, the resurrection, is an invitation to go and tell. Sometimes we come and see and we come and see and we come and see. And Jesus says, okay, go and tell. That's what the angel said to the women after they saw in verse 7. He says, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And Jesus tells these women, go tell my brothers. Okay, there's an invitation to go. In fact, Jesus' final words in Matthew 28:19, it says to the disciples, he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Church, this is our story. This is our story. This is our hope. And far too often when I sit around with Christians and they say, Pastor, we need to take action. They don't mean the one thing that Jesus told us to do. They mean something else. Go make disciples. Jesus says, go. I want you to tell this story and go tell this story. I want you to live this story. Allow this gospel to shape you into the image of Jesus. Tell this story with your life. Tell this story with the words of your mouth. Now, how do we respond to this Christmas, to this Easter story? It all works together. Proper response is faith. That's how we respond to this. Think about the women. The women had a choice there. Sometimes we disbelieve what our eyes are telling us, what's right in front of us. Sometimes we see because we believe, or we don't see because we don't. But the women, they had a choice. After they looked, they saw the empty tomb. And I think most of you know, like, hey, the tomb could be empty for several reasons. And Jesus then shows himself. And they have a choice. Am I going to put my faith in? And am I going to trust in this Jesus that has defeated sin and defeated death? And not only that, but will I follow him? And for me, I'm banking on that. You know, there's a lot of arguments we could have about, well, this scripture, they don't have any historical evidence for this. And sometimes I won't say yet. But I'm banking. I'm like, okay, that guy defeated death. I'm with him. Whatever that guy says, I'm following that guy. And that's really been the defining question of faith for the last 2,000 years. Do we trust in the resurrection? Do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe that Jesus offers a better way to live? Do we believe that the power that raised Jesus from the dead can make us new? And Paul addresses this question of faith when he wrote to the early Roman church, and he wants to make it clear. Here's the proper response to the empty tomb. Romans 10:9-10. Paul writes this. He says, because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And let me ask, if you have faith that God raised Jesus from the dead, do you have faith that he can do the same for you? And do we have faith that we can trust him in the little things? I know lots of times we're like, okay, I know where I'm going when I'm dying. I'm trusting God with my eternal soul. I'm trusting that he's going to take my dead body and raise me back to life. But can I trust him on a daily basis on much smaller things than that? Do I have faith that this same Jesus will be faithful to me? To celebrate Easter without making a fundamental decision to trust in Jesus' his resurrection power is to miss the story completely. It is an invitation, and the invitation is very clear. Come and see. Come and examine the story. Come look at the empty tomb. Come look at the risen Jesus, and then make a decision. Is Jesus Lord? Is he your Lord Is he your Savior? Now, let me back up here. When we do that, we're realizing that we can be made new, that Jesus can make a difference in our life. And here's my suggestion to you is allow Jesus to take the old and make it new. Last week I said something that Jesus and the gospel confronts and completes our story. The gospel always confronts our story. When I look at it, the gospel confronts me. It confronts my thoughts. It confronts the story that I live. It confronts the cultural narratives that I believe in. But he doesn't only confront it, he completes it. And he did the same for every single disciple in the Bible, including the women in the passage today. He confronts their belief. They thought it was over. Jesus says, no, it's not over. It's just the beginning. And think about every good story you have ever heard. Every good story you've ever heard, think about a character in that story. Every character has a hope. They have a dream. They expect something to happen. And then something bad happens, right? And then somewhere in that process, that character, let's just say they become new in a sense. That by going through that obstacle, something changes with them, and they go back into that story as a changed person, as a renewed person. And that's what Jesus wants to do with every single one of us. In fact, the cool thing is he really does the work for us when we put our faith in him. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If we were to read it in the Greek, you wouldn't understand it. No. Listen, in the Greek, the Greek leaves out the word he is a, and it reads this way, which I think is pretty powerful. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. I'm like, but just cut to the chase. Are you in Christ? New creation. You're a new creation. God has begun a new work in you. Something amazing has taken place, right? Jesus has entered into a broken world. He has entered into my broken story. I'll speak self-responsibly. And it's Jesus' broken body and his shed blood on the cross that pays the price for our forgiveness of sins and restores us. Jesus, think about this. Jesus' body laid in this tomb in this garden, which I think is quite ironic because we begin Genesis, what? In a story where creation takes place in a garden. And now here we have another garden where new creation takes place. God wants to do something new in our lives. He wants to replace our old way of thinking, our old way of living with new ones. He wants to take the ordinary in our lives and make it extraordinary. He wants to take selfishness and replace it with generosity, anger, and replace it with love. Wouldn't you like to live in a world like that? He wants to take our fear and replace it with joy, our addiction, and replace it with freedom. If you ever ask the question, does God love me? Look at the resurrection. Look at the cross. There is proof of God's love and God's power. He not only loves you, but he has power to do something about it. And my challenge, my encouragement today, will you receive that love? Will you allow God to work in your life by faith? Will you confess? If you've looked at the evidence, and maybe some of you've looked at it, but you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, would you confess that you believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead? He is alive. He's at work. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding on your behalf right now. So if you go to prayer and say, Jesus, I want you to change my life. He is right there, right beside the Father, praying on your behalf. You are entering a prayer meeting that is going on right now by the resurrected Jesus who loves you and gave up his life for you. And I want to invite us. I want to invite those that have placed faith in Christ, those who have not, to allow God to do that remodeling work. Allow God to complete your story. Allow him to do the finishing work that only he can do. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this day where we emphasize the resurrection, our only hope, Lord. We're so thankful. We're so thankful that Jesus, when sin and death really came after us, that Jesus stood in the way of sin and death and evil and defeated sin and death and evil. Defeated that on the cross and rose from the dead victoriously. Lord, we thank you for this incredible reality. And Lord, may it not just be a story that we know in our heads, but a story that we know in our hearts. A story that gives us hope and joy and purpose. Lord God, be with your people today. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.